Shalom, all praises, glory, and honor to the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, in the name of His only begotten Son, HaMashiach, Yahweh Shai. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. This is your brother, Shalah. I'd like to do a lesson going into the plagues of Egypt. America is spiritually Egypt. When you go into the familiar spirits that's attached to Babylon the Great, it lets us know that those familiar spirits that would inhabit America, Babylon the Great, would be spiritually Sodom, which is going into the homosexuals, the lesbians, the pedophiles, those that practice bestiality, all of those vile, wicked affections. That spirit would be in America. And then also Egypt, the occultism, the witchcraft, the sorcery, the Egyptian mystery religions that America was founded off through Freemasonry, that spirit would inhabit Babylon the Great. So these are wicked, evil spirits that actually is the spiritual force that's driving America. Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, also the whore. The Whore of Babylon, written of in the book of Revelation. Mystery Babylon. Because when those prophecies were being foretold by John the Revelator, America wasn't created. So you'll get people out there that'll say, oh, America is not in the Bible. Well, the prophecies were written thousands of years ago that will foretell a kingdom in the latter times. Mystery Babylon. The scriptures tell us that the Lord will reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So the prophets would get divine revelation in these latter times of what kingdom is what. So America is spiritually Sodom and Egypt, is Babylon the Great. And that kingdom would deceive the nations upon the earth through her delicacies. All the nations would become rich off of her what? Off of her fornication, idolatry, sorcery, pharmakia, medications, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, what they call big pharma. All these nations are doing business with America, all the pills that these nations funnel to America, like China. You got all these nations here in America that are strung out on drugs, pharmaceutical medications. Then you have the witchcraft, the old-fashioned witchcraft and sorcery. The satanic government actually recruit satanic cults to stalk and harass God's chosen people or anybody that speak out against corruption and evil. These are things that happen in Babylon. The rituals, the ritualistic killings, the organ harvesting, the human sacrifices, the child sacrifices, all these evil things that's happening in America is the demonic spirit that's actually making America what it is. This nation right now is pretty much being set up. You got the open borders. You got all these nations like the Syrians, the Chinese, military age men that are just funneling in through the borders. So they're creating what's obviously looking like a possible false flag event to bring in unjust and grievous laws. Because all this money that's being given to the war, billions of dollars to the Ukrainians, while people here are suffering, people that have been here all their lives for many generations, and they're just handing that money over to people that just got here and to fund wars. And all that's doing is what creating hostility and anger towards people that obviously are being wronged. And they want to do that. To what? To create chaos, to create infighting, so they can bring in martial law. They're using social engineering. So these people are very wicked and evil. And if they would orchestrate 9/11, these people, when I say they orchestrate 9/11, I'm talking about the shadow government. They're the ones that orchestrated 9/11. So if they would do that, they would do pretty much anything to bring chaos and destruction. So this is why the Lord tells us, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. Right now, you had recently with the cell phones, the communications. A lot of people's cell phones weren't working. All the different cell phone carriers complained, you know, and you know, put out statements or whatever like that about what happened. So these people are giving everybody pretty much a, you know, I'll say it like this. They're putting it out there that eventually all of these cell phones, they're not going to be working. It's going to be a bad scenario where you won't be able to communicate with each other. So the Lord tells us to get our houses in order, because the Lord, he's about to bring judgment. He's allowing these situations and scenarios to manifest, because ultimately he's against Babylon. He has alt with this place. He has a controversy for what is done to God's chosen people. So the Lord, he's going to continue to plague and curse Babylon the Great, America. All these situations that's happening, the Lord is allowing. And the Lord will bring judgment, and he will bring deliverance. Judgment on the wicked and deliverance on the righteous. So in the land of Egypt, ancient Egypt, the Lord sent four plagues. And the Lord said that he would plague Babylon the Great or Egypt the same way. So we're going to go into that. So we're going to first start out in the book of Exodus, going into the plagues that the Lord brought forth on the Egyptians. The ancient Egyptians had the Israelites in captivity, put hell on the Hebrews. The Hebrews, they built Egypt. As the scriptures tell us, they built up treasure cities of Pithom and Ramses. So the Egyptians was using slave labor the same way that the modern day Egyptians, which are here in America, the Americans, used the Israelites to build up America. So that's Exodus, started chapter 10. Bear with me, hold on. I want to bring out this specific plague because the Lord, he sent many different plagues. He sent locusts. He sent flies. He sent, the water turned to blood. The Egyptians, they had like boils on their body, you know, like sores. He sent hail, fire that rained down? The Lord really jacked up the Egyptians. because what they did to God's people. And so during the time of the Passover, the Israelites, they had refuge. They were in their homes. They had light. And they had the blood of the lamb, the lamb's blood over the doorpost. So with the Israelites having that blood over the doorpost, that saved the Israelites from the death angel that passed over the land of Egypt. And that death angel was Yahweh Shai, the Messiah. And so the Egyptians, who wasn't covered, by that blood, they were tormented. And the Bible go into how in the land of Egypt, it was darkness. See, the Israelites had light in their homes, and the Egyptians, they were in pitch black so much that they can actually feel the darkness. So this is in the book of Exodus chapter 10. And we'll start going into, Let's start at verse 12. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all the hail have left." So the Lord brought a plague upon the Egyptian, which was locusts, that would eat up all their crops. Verse 13, "And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such." So those locusts, they consume the Egyptians' land. It says, "For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land." So it was so many locusts that the land became dark. That many locusts just blotted out the sky. That's how many locusts it was that consumed all of their their crops, food, grain that the Egyptians would make bread with. I'll read that again. It says, "For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left." So before that, hail destroyed a portion of the trees and the crops. But then a locust came and did even more damage. It says, "And there remained not any green thing in the trees." So the trees were stripped clean by the locusts. It says, or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. And he said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them in the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. So just like how the Lord brought those locusts, he actually turned them back and drove them into the Red Sea. Verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. So although the Lord delivered the Egyptians from the locusts, the Heavenly Father hardened the heart of Pharaoh to the point where he wouldn't let the Israelites go. So the same spirit that's on these modern day Egyptians that torment and trouble God's people, their hearts are hardened. They'll only continue to do the things that they do to hurt us and to come against us and to gainsay and to lie and slander. It's all gas and no brakes with these people. So they can't stop. They can't stop being wicked. They can't turn from what they're doing. They're not considering the latter end, you know, putting the drugs and the guns in our neighborhoods, you know, to destroy the generations. You know, they flooded the neighborhoods with heroin, you know, then crack cocaine in the 80s. They used experimentation. You know, you got a lot of men, women, and children that are being organ harvested. You know, their organs are being taken from them. There's rituals. People are coming up missing. Let's see. Hold on. All right, so this is verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. So the land of Egypt had darkness, and the darkness was so thick that people could actually feel it. The Egyptians could actually feel the darkness. So it was a heavy void of darkness that was throughout the land. And so those Egyptians, they was tormented. So not only it was dark, but then they actually was tormented with evil spirits, apparitions. So this is in the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14. Hold on, Salakia. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, that goes into Caesarea Borgia. Actually needed Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 17. So, and for those that's wondering who's Caesarea Borgia was an actual man, and his likeness was the image used what people believe is what Jesus Christ looked like. You know, the blonde hair, blue eye, or the brown hair, or long hair, white man. That's what a lot of people throughout the earth believe Christ looked like, but the Messiah don't look like that. When you go into the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, it gives a very distinct description of what the Messiah looks like. Having hair white and woolly, white in color, woolly in texture, and skin likened to brass as if it was burned in a furnace. So the Messiah would be classified or described as a so-called Negro man. That's what the Bible tells us. But you'll get Christians out there that'll say, oh, what difference does it make? Well, it does make a difference, because the image that was used was an image that was put in place to deceive that whole earth. So that's false identity or identity theft. They took the Lord's image of what he actually looked like, describing the Bible, and Esau used his likeness, as the scriptures tell us that the heathens will sought to paint the likeness of their image. So they would take their images and replace them. That's why the scriptures tell us that where also our Lord was crucified, when it's talking about going into spiritual Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, that's going into the as if they crucified the Lord by using that image, you know, character assassination. Because they'll tell you that Jesus or Christ, you know, you just hear love, 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 and that's it. But you don't hear about the Lord's wrath and how he is an austere man. They just push one, you know, basically one side of the Lord. Yes, the Lord loved. He's merciful. You know, he healed many. He had compassion, but he also showed righteous indignation, anger, when he drove out the money changers. So let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 17. And this is going into the description of what the Egyptians was going through when the Lord brought plagues upon the land. So we'll start at verse 1. It says, "For great are thy judgments, and cannot be expressed. Therefore, unnurtured souls have erred. For when unrighteous men thought to oppress the holy nation," so those unrighteous men that oppress the holy nation, that's talking about the heathen nations, specifically the Egyptians. And then you got the modern day Egyptians, which are these Edomites that's controlling America under white supremacy or Edomite supremacy. They're the unrighteous men that oppress the holy nation, God's chosen people that are here in America, that built America through chattel slavery. It says, being shut up in their houses. So when the Lord brought those plagues upon the Egyptians, they were tormented. They were shut in their houses. But the difference between the Israelites who were in their houses, they had light. They were in comfort. But the Egyptians, they were in pitch black, total darkness. It says, "They being shut up in their houses, the prisoners of darkness, and fettered with the bonds of a long night." So not only it was just full of darkness, but it was a long night. You had the Passover, which is the Israelites were saved and delivered from that calamity, which was the death angel that passed over the land of Egypt that smite the Egyptians' firstborn male child. It says, "Lay there exiled from the eternal providence." It says, "For while they supposed to lie hid in their secret sins, they were scattered under a dark veil of forgetfulness." So those secret sins will go into how the elites here in America, they sacrifice children, they drink blood, they come up with all these different snares and schemes to oppress God's chosen people. They come up with all kind of satanic devices that they hide, secret sins. It says, "They were scattered under a dark veil of forgetfulness, being horribly astonished and troubled with strange apparitions." So they were being tormented by seeing evil spirits. These are the plagues of the land of Egypt. So the Lord said he's going to punish this modern day Egypt the same way that he punished the ancient land of Egypt. So the Lord, he's going to allow the evil spirits, you know, this devil, he's tapping into CERN, you know, basically merging the dimensions. So strange apparitions, you know, unknown beasts. The scriptures tell us that they're spirits that were created for vengeance. So you're going to have evil spirits out there putting people to death. Even the evil spirits that possess human beings, the Lord will use those evil spirits to put other people to death. You hear about it all the time, you know, like different scenarios where somebody snapped, they went crazy, you know, and the people, they don't even remember what they did, you know. That's because, you know, there's certain situations where they were totally possessed by the evil spirit. You know, they say people black out. But, you know, people can be totally consumed by legions, which are thousands of demons. It says, being horribly astonished and troubled with strange apparitions. It says, for neither might the corner that held them keep them from fear, but noises as of waters falling down sounded about them. So not only they saw strange apparitions or ghosts, hideous faces, you know, evil spirits, but they heard the sound of waters. It says in trouble. Hold on. It says in trouble with strange apparitions. Neither might the corner that held them keep them from fear, but noises as of waters falling down sounded about them, and sad visions appeared unto them with heavy countenances. So these evil spirits, they had you know, basically hideous faces. And the evil spirits, they had let me read that again. It says, but noises as of waters falling down sounded about them, and sad visions appeared. So you had like sad visions of like people that look sad, like hideous faces that look tormented. No power of the fire might give them light. So they had candles, but the darkness was so thick that it couldn't keep the flame going. It was so thick, the darkness was where people could feel it. So they were trying to light candles, and it was as if the candle light was being smothered. Neither could the bright flames of the stars endure to lighten the horrible night. So the thickness of the darkness, the stars couldn't even penetrate it. You know, on a clear night, especially like in those ancient times, there were no street lights. So when it was a clear night, you could see all the stars in the sky, but because of that vast darkness, the stars couldn't even be seen. And it was described as a horrible night. It says, only there appeared unto them a fire kindled of itself, very dreadful, for being much terrified, they thought the things which they saw to be worse than the sight they saw not. It says, as for the illusions of art magic, they were put down. So the Egyptians, magicians, it couldn't prevail. It says, and their vaunting and wisdom was reproved with disgrace. So So the magicians, they didn't even try to conjure up anything. They were that bad off where they totally lost any kind of desire or even wanted to use divination. It was a horrible night for the Egyptians. It says in their vaunting, which the Egyptians, they were puffed up with pride. Scripture says pride come before destruction. So they were knowledgeable, but their knowledge and wisdom had perverted them. So their wisdom was turned to disgrace. It says, for they that promised to drive away terrors and troubles from a sick soul were sick themselves of fear. So the magicians, they were saying that they would drive out the terrors and the troubles from a sick soul. So all those Egyptians that were plagued and fearful and scared and crying. Now, these are, you know, the Egyptians that put all their trust in their false gods, their idols, Horus and what's that, Anubis, all these different Egyptian gods, their amulets, all their hieroglyphs, you know, their rituals, you know, when it comes to their ceremonies, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and all these things. The very magicians and the priests and all those people that were involved in that, they themselves were in a bad situation. They had fear. They were sick with fear. It says, worthy to be laughed at. So the Lord, the scripture says that the Lord will laugh at their calamity. So just like in the ancient times, the Lord is going to put the spirit on his elect to laugh and mock the wicked. For though no terrible thing did fear them, yet being scared with beasts that passed by and hissing of serpents. I'll read that again. It says, for though no terrible thing did fear them, yet being scared with beasts that passed by and hissing of serpents. So they were terrified with every sound. So even the, you know, beasts that passed by, they were shook. They were that terrified, just the sound. You've seen those movies where, you know, people would be in a very tense situation. It might be in a haunted house or something like that, and then they hear like a little sound. It'll probably be like a mouse or something like that, and they'll freeze with fear. The Egyptians, they were that afraid. That much terror came upon them. So even the beast that passed by or serpent hissing, they were totally stricken with fear. They died for fear. So they dropped dead from being scared to death, denying that they saw the error which could of no side be avoided. For wickedness condemned by their own witness is very timorous, and being pressed with conscience also or always forecast of grievous things. For fear is nothing else but a betraying of the succors which reason offereth, and the expectations from within being less, counted the ignorance more than the cause that bringeth the torment. So these Egyptians, they were tormented with fear. They were totally consumed with those strange apparitions and just animals, near them, scaring them. And, you know, the beasts were freaking out, too. You know, the strange apparitions, the sounds, you know, animals are already skittish. It says, but they sleep in the same sleep that night, which was indeed intolerable, and which came upon them out of the bottoms of inevitable hell. So they were in hell. Their sleep was intolerable. They couldn't even sleep. It was intolerable. Just think about that. Intolerable. They were in torments. It says, were partly vexed with monstrous apparitions. So they saw monstrous apparitions. Monsters. Monstrous apparitions. And the Lord, he gonna bring forth plagues upon Babylon. Were partly vexed with monstrous apparitions and partly fainted, their heart failing them. So they died of heart attacks from the fear. It says their heart failing them for a sudden fear and not looked for came upon them. So when whosoever there fell down was straightly kept, shut up in prison without iron bars. So they were in prison. They were in a hellish prison. The condition of just being, in pitch blackness. It says, for whether he were husbandman or shepherd or laborer in the field, he was overtaken and endureth that necessity which could not be avoided, for they were all bound with one chain of darkness. So no matter what, social class, whether they were rich or they were a laborer in the field, a farmer, whether they were shepherd, they were all chained under that darkness. Whether it were a whistling wind or a melodious noise of birds among the spreading branches, or a pleasing fall of water running violently. So even if they were in a so-called tranquil environment, it was still a bad situation. They were in total darkness. It says, hold on. Verse 19, it says, or a terrible sound of stones cast down, or running that could not be seen of skipping beast. So they were hearing animals just rush past, or roaring voice of most savage wild beasts. So they heard growls. It says, or rebounding echo from the hollow mountains. So they were hearing echoes. It says, these things made them to swoon with for fear. So every sound that the Egyptians heard, they were in fear. It says, for the whole world shined with clear light, and none were hindered in their labor. So everything outside of Egypt had light. You know, now the Israelites that had that divine protection from the Heavenly Father Yahweh and the Messiah, who was a death angel, they had the blood over their doorpost. So they had light. And you bring that up to modern times, that light is the Holy Spirit that burns and shines within a man or a woman. And the doorpost, you know, the blood is the blood of the Lamb, Yahweh Shai, who is the unspotted Lamb. And the doorpost is the mind. Verse 21, it says, over them only was spread in heavy night an image of that darkness which should afterwards receive them, but yet were they themselves more grievous than the darkness. So their spirit, their souls was even worse than the darkness. They were in a grievous situation, because these Egyptians, it was a decadent society, you know, and they looked down on the Israelites, and then the Lord brought that judgment on them. And the same spirit is here in America, modern day Babylon, modern day Egypt, that looked down on God's chosen people. And living, as the scriptures say, she lived deliciously. So those torments Babylon will receive before the Lord destroyed Babylon with fire, the same way the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all those other Hamitic cities, fire and brimstone, before the Lord bring that fire and brimstone to Babylon the Great, a.k.a. America, He's going to bring forth those plagues. He's going to punish Babylon and bring the haughtiness down low. He's going to humiliate and humble Babylon and expose her. And so that's why the wicked that plot against the just, and they'll do things to try to censor the truth. You know, and have all these witches and these evil people coming against God's people, and they plan and plot in secret. But the Lord laughs at the wicked because he see that their day is coming. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the Lord want his people to repent, because those that don't repent will receive the same plagues as the Egyptians. So it's all about repenting. So this is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 15. It says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. So the Lord, he's going to take away all the sickness that plagued the Israelites. The Israelites are, you know, ranking high in all the different infirmities, you know, heart disease, diabetes, you know, cancers, all these different things. Now, Esau have a hand in creating some of those diseases, you know, with the different chemicals and drugs and different experimentations and silent assassination programs that they do against God's people, poisonings and stuff like that. But also a lot of the plagues come in from the way the Israelites are living, you know, especially when it comes to eating unlawful foods like pork, all the different diseases that come with eating a beast that shouldn't be consumed. A lot of our people, they don't see that by them eating pork is a problem, but it is. It is. It is against the law, statutes, and commandments. The Lord gave us dietary laws. We're not to eat any flesh that's unlawful. There are certain meats that the Israelites can eat, you know, like chicken, you know, fish with scales and fins, cows, you know, or beef. But then like pork and, you know, catfish and stuff like that, because they don't have scales. We can't eat that. You know, our people, they're into shrimp, crab, lobster, all those bottom feeders. We're not to eat those foods. Those are unlawful. So the Lord's righteousness and his mercy, he's going to take all those sicknesses that's on the Israelites and take them off of God's people, the ancient Hebrew Israelites. It says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest. So all the evil diseases of Egypt, which the Israelites know, the Lord going to take them off. It says, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So the Lord, he's going to reverse all the sicknesses, all the infirmities, all the different things, you know, or, you know, ailments that our people deal with, and he's going to place them on our enemies, those that hate us and persecute us. That those are the plagues that the Lord is going to put on the Egyptians, all those heathen nations. So let's go to Deuteronomy 30:7. Because the Lord, he blesses and then he curses. So this is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we'll go to verse 7, and it reads, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies. So just like how the Lord put curses on us for us being disobedient. You know, that's the main reason, you know, I spoke about Esau and all of that, but the main reason why we're in this condition because of our disobedience. We didn't keep the Heavenly Father's law, statutes, and commandments. And the Lord allowed Esau to do the things that he's done over the, you know, the time that we've been over here in the Americas. But Esau went too far. The Lord gave us into their hands, and as the scripture say, thou didst show them no mercy. So because they didn't show the Israelites no mercy, they laid the yoke, that burden heavy, chattel slavery, you know, alligator babies, you know, reconstruction, splitting up the families, buck breaking, you know, the massacres, you know, all the different things, the COINTELPRO, all these things, the lynchings, all of those things, the Lord is going to require judgment upon all those that hate and persecute his people. So the Lord is going to put curses on those that hate thee, which persecuted thee. I'll read that again. It says, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies. The enemies that brought us over here in the cargo slave ships, those same enemies. The enemies that was written of in Psalm 83, those very enemies. He says, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. So the heathen nations not only hate us, but they persecute us. They hate and persecute us today and tomorrow. They're not going to stop until the Lord stopped them, until the Lord started putting those curses upon them. And then they're going to be in the same situation, but worse than the Egyptians. Scripture said that Sodom and Gomorrah be more tolerable than that city when the Lord bring forth destruction by way of World War III upon America, which is Babylon the Great. That's the judgment of the whore that sitteth upon many waters. So you're going to have a deliverance out of modern day Egypt, the second Exodus, when the Heavenly Father sends his only begotten son, Yahweh Shai, to deliver the Israelites out of this modern day Egypt. That's why the blood of the Lamb, Yahweh Shai's blood, is so important. Blood atones for sins. So in order to make it out of this captivity, you have to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. The same way the blood was on the doorposts of the Israelites' house. So the Lamb of God, that's what's going to save you. Having his blood cover your sins. Go to, let's see. Hold on. Okay, so let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. It says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he had seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door." So that's where you get the name Passover. The death angel passed over those Israelites' homes who had the blood upon the lintel on the two side posts. It says, "And the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." So Yahweh Shai was that destroyer. And so the Egyptians who aren't covered or weren't covered by the blood of the Lamb, because they're not of the nation of Israel, that death angel passed over their homes. So let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 8, going into how America is spiritually Sodom and Egypt. You have your dollar bill. They have the Egyptian symbol of the pyramid. You have the elites that go into the all-seeing eye of the pyramid, all that occultism. That's going to be a shame and a curse to them. How they boast, you know, what is it, the New World Order, the ages. You know, then they say Anuit Coeptis, our enterprise is crowned with success. They're already claiming victory. But little do they know the Lord is allowing them to puff themselves up with pride before their fall. And they're going to scurry and hide in caves like rats, trying to hide from their judgment. So this is in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Verse 8, and it reads, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city." So their dead bodies, this is talking about the spiritual dead, the Israelites who are spiritually dead, that's going into the valley of the dry bones in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, when Ezekiel prophesied to those dry bones that was in that valley, that low valley. That valley represents America. America is the valley of the shadow of death. The prayer that King David prayed, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That valley, the valley of the shadow of death, is talking about here in America. A shadow is something that you can't hide from. It follows you. So death is on all sides here in Babylon the Great. This is a death culture. Everything about this place is about death. They glorify their serial killers. You know, whether they were U.S. presidents like, what's his name, Andrew Jackson, who was basically a serial killer, killed the Gadites, Native Americans. Al Capone, serial killer. Jesse James, you know, basically a killer. Serial killer. Christopher Columbus, a serial killer. So Babylon the Great glorifies death. The witches, the warlocks, the symbolisms, all of that is pushing death. You can't push life from wickedness. So the Israelites are in that spiritual death, and they receive the breath of life, which is the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Heavenly Father. That's where the Holy Spirit comes from. It is the breath of the Heavenly Father. So the Israelites received that breath of life and standing upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So this is why the nations are reacting the way they do to the truth. Now they want to call brothers and even sisters terrorists for declaring the gospel, the good news, and speaking breath to our people through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is wind. It goes wherever it wants. The Lord said, prophesy into the wind. The Messiah, he breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples. So that Holy Spirit, that wind, is going to go where it's going to go. And the brothers and sisters that receive the Holy Spirit will stand upon their feet alive. And this is what drives fear in the nations, no longer seeing our people in that degraded state. Now the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is resting upon those blessed men. In that great city, that's America, that's Babylon the Great. It says, in their dead bodies, which lie in their great Salakia, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So that great city is Babylon, and the spirit that's in that great city is of Sodom and Egypt. The homosexuality, the lesbianism, pedophilia, bestiality, all the wicked inordinate affections is here in Babylon the Great. The sorcery, the enchantments, the rituals, the curses, the hexes, sex magic, and all these things that this devil operate in, using power on the left-hand side, that's all in Babylon. Sorcery, pharmakia, and then also Egypt. the slavery. The Egyptians were cruel taskmasters against the Israelites. The Israelites, when they went into Egypt, they weren't slaves, but then the Egyptians became fearful because the Israelites began to overpopulate. So the Egyptians were fearful that the Israelites would side with the Egyptians' enemies. So they just decided to put the Israelites into captivity. And so that same mindset is in the modern day Egyptians. This is why you had witches like Margaret Sanger come up with the Negro Project. Before it was called Planned Parenthood, the Negro Project was used to depopulate the Negro population. It's a book out called The Negro Project, and it goes into Margaret Sanger's agenda, which was to depopulate the Negro family. She despised the Negro family because she saw that black families, you know, basically, you know, they had large families. And then also they were deeply religious. So she despised those two things. So she conspired in secret and had money from the wealthy, like the Rockefellers, that funded a lot of her projects. They were the money behind all the wicked, evil things that she did. And she used Negro preachers. She beguiled the Negro preachers to push, you know, what they call family planning. But all of that was meant to destroy the, you know, the Israelite population. So the Egyptians, the modern day Egyptians, they plotted the same way that the ancient Egyptians plotted, just like the ancient Egyptians tried to persuade the midwives to kill the Israelite children. There's nothing new under the sun. This is why a lot of the black women will go into the hospitals and they'll get sterilized, you know, or their children to die. It's a death care culture. Every black city, so-called black city, there's always a hospital that black folks will say, don't go into that hospital. You may not come out of it alive. Because a lot of these hospitals, they work in covertly behind the scenes with these intelligence agencies and these, you know, military factions and stuff like that, that will do things to hurt God's people. It says, where also our Lord was crucified, going back to what I was saying, how this image of Cesare Borgia that people believe is the Messiah, and you, if you go on Facebook, you'll see pictures of Cesare Borgia, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, and they'll have the picture of him standing at the door, and at the bottom of it, say, type A man. And you got Negroes out there, Latinos, Native Americans, you know, God's chosen people that are type A man. Even if you tell them that that image is false, they'll still confirm by their beliefs that that's Christ, and that's not the Messiah. That's not who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is Yahweh Shai, and he's not an Edomite. But to the average Christian, that don't matter. But the scriptures tell us that no lie is of the truth. So it's very important because it's written in the Bible what he looks like. It's just that brothers out there that prophesy and teach have to bring that out. Not to make a doctrine out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, when I say make a doctrine, meaning pushing the color. But at the same time, the truth has to come out. So it's like countering all the lies that's being said. You know, the doctrine is the good news of salvation through the blood of Yahweh Shai, the new covenant. Being saved and delivered, repentance, keeping the law, statutes, and commandments the best of our ability, fearing the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, being charitable, being merciful, the two greatest commandments, love the Heavenly Father with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Treating your neighbor fairly. And your neighbor is your fellow Israelite. Let's see. Verse 9, it says, and they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. So all the nations, all the heathen nations, whether they Chinese, Arab, African, so-called white, you know, so-called East Indian, talking about the biblical tribes of those nationalities, because you're going to have what brothers back in the day used to teach, the confusion of faces, but basically you're going to have Israelites that look like all the different nations. They're going to look like so-called Africans. They can look like a Hamite, but actually their bloodline goes back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is why the Lord said that with the wheat and tares you let them grow together. Because you judging someone based off of what they look like, you could be offending the little one. So you can't go off of, at the same time, you can't go off of color. You know, we do bring up what the Lord looks like because it's very important. But at the same time, you got to realize that as written of in Revelation, what's that, chapter 7, verse 9, about that great multitude of all nations, people, kindreds, and tongues. You're going to have the Israelites that look like all the different nations. So it's not about judging, as they say, a book by its cover. You have to try the spirit first before you come to a conclusion. You have to hear the whole matter out. And if it's, you know, no matter what they look like, but their spirit bears witness, then they could more than likely be an Israelite, you know. But the heathen nations, the actual nations, those that hate us, they see the Israelites in that dead state, spiritually dead, and they don't do nothing. They know our people are suffering out in the West Coast, living in tents, you know. Wow, well, these devils got enough money to send, or actually our tax dollars, for us that's paying taxes, taking our tax dollars and sending them over to Ukraine to fight that war that obviously the Ukrainians ain't going to win, because that was actually a part of Russia. So how are you going to defeat, you know, Russia, who, you know, basically is going to be the main adversary that go against Babylon the Great to destroy her with fire, along with, you know, the Ten Horns, which are all the other nations of the European Union, a slack of the European Union that's going to go against America. And burn her with fire, as the scriptures tell us in Revelation chapter 17. So these heathen nations, they see the Israelites in this shape, and the Lord is going to judge these nations for what they're doing to his people. See, these aren't ordinary people. These are the real chosen people of the Most High. These aren't just regular folks that you, like all you heathens out there, even the ones that's listening and spying and slandering and looking for anything to try to falsely accuse me. You're actually coming against God's chosen people. When you plan and you plot and you hold on to our words the same way that the wicked Jews held on to the Messiah's words, the spies that fiend themselves just men, there's great judgment that's going to manifest in these last days. Let's go to, let's see. Isaiah 47. Because of America, Babylon the Great was founded off witchcraft and sorcery. The Luciferians, the Freemasons, all that is occultism. You know, these people, they worship Baphomet, or they worship different deities. Of course, they have different levels, you know, different degrees, and they got their own philosophies, you know, denying the power of the Lord because they trust in their own wisdom, which have perverted them. They think they have such advanced knowledge because it goes back to Egypt, because it goes back to Babylon, but it's not going to be able to stop the Lord's wrath against Babylon the Great. So we're going to start at Isaiah chapter 47, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground." So America is the daughter of Babylon. You have Babylon the Great. You had the ancient land of Babylon, which was in Iraq. But then you have the daughter of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, which is, you know, the United States of America. So the Lord is going to humble and bring Babylon low. Going to knock her off her pedestal because she's proud. Like you got these proud women out there that are on pedestals, and you know they got millions of followers, and they use their looks, and they have a proud, lofty demeanor. You could tell a pride in a woman, how she looks, her haughty looks, her eyelids. So the daughter of Babylon is going to be brought low. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, so she's going to be dethroned. O daughter of the Chaldeans. Now the Chaldeans, they were the, you know, they were, you know, in the land of Babylon, the ancient Babylon. They had a class of people called the Chaldeans, which were those that had knowledge. They were in the science. They had, you know, they had advanced knowledge. They were into occultism. They were into, you know, like, again, the sciences. They were like, you know, the mystics, you know. So they had knowledge and wisdom, but it was occultism. The same knowledge and wisdom that the Freemasons, boast in as they go into different degrees, the different levels. for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the river. So the Lord is gonna expose the daughter of Babylon. And the way the Lord is exposing the daughter of Babylon is through all the stuff that's coming out. All these whistleblowers, all these people that's going into all the satanic things that this demonic, wicked, satanic government is doing towards the people. The spraying of drugs and chemicals, the nanotechnology that everyone is infected with, that, because this nanotechnology is connected to human beings, so now they can actually monitor. In so many words, they're hacking human beings, because the heart and the mind, or the heart and the brain, emits a signal or frequency. It's our bodies are electric. So all this stuff that's coming out, the Lord is exposing it. It says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen, and will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Because the Lord, he's going to come back as a God. He's not going to come back, you know, like in a human form, so to speak. You know, when he was on the earth, he came as a man. He wasn't a born of angels. You know what I'm saying? He came in the flesh, but he's coming back as a God, a spirit. He's going to bring that judgment on Babylon the Great. So I'm running out of time in on this broadcast. I'm going to end it. But if you read further down that taunting proverb, you got to start at verse 12. It says, stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit. If so be thou mayest prevail. So the Lord is taunting the witches and the warlocks, and nothing is going to save Babylon the Great. All the witches, the warlocks, the soothsayers, they're going to burn up in fire. Judgment is coming upon the wicked, thus saith the Lord. Shalom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh.